God is compared with a judge in today's gospel, and an unjust judge at that. And it reminds me of the book of Job, which I've been reading recently just in my own prayer. And I love the book of Job, which might seem like an odd thing to say, but it's a really a beautiful depiction of this struggle with God. And so Job calls on God time and again to be his judge, that Job maintains his own innocence, that he is not merely a righteous man, he is a perfect man. He says, "Show me one person whom I have sinned against, and all of that has happened to me will be fitting. But if God would just hear my cause, if he would only judge my case, he would vindicate me. He would say that this suffering has been unearned." And there's something that the widow in today's gospel and Job, I think, draw out that is very important, and that is the difference between being overwhelmed by suffering and falling into despair. That Job was overwhelmed by suffering. The widow was overwhelmed by this situation of injustice, the suffering, that she could not move on with the rest of her life until this situation was resolved and justice was restored. And so she keeps coming back to this judge. Jesus himself was overwhelmed with suffering in Gethsemane, on Calvary, our Blessed Mother. But what does Jesus say? He says, "Father, take this cup away from me. My God, why have you abandoned me?" And this might sound like despair, sound very close to despair. Some things that Job says sound very close to despair. But that question of why is very important, that he's asking the question, and he's still calling on God, "My God, Father," that Jesus still believes that his Father, his God, is greater than all that is happening to him or that is about to happen to him when he's in Gethsemane. Don't tell Father Borkenhagen I said that. Jesus doesn't believe, Jesus knows that the Father is greater, but Mary believes, Mary hopes. The widow in this gospel, she keeps coming back to this judge, unjust though he is, as the one who can solve her situation. She doesn't go and find some wealthy merchant to pester. She doesn't go to some distant relative. She doesn't find somebody else that hates this guy who's wronged her to try and band up together. No, she comes back time and again to this unjust judge, that he is the one that can solve this situation. And so what does despair look like? It is somebody that has stopped asking why. Somebody that says, "God has abandoned me because. God has abandoned me because he does not love me, because he cannot help me, because he doesn't want to help me. God has abandoned me, or maybe he doesn't even really exist." And so that is a very sad thing, a very tragic situation, very tragic statement. But what, in many times in those situations, I find when somebody is in a state of despair, it's often not the people in the pews here, but somebody that I just run into somewhere elsewhere, that it is not that God has abandoned you, it is that you abandoned God many years ago. You stopped listening to his invitations, his desire to have a relationship with you. But even now, in this suffering, it is an invitation to turn to him as the only one who can help you when nobody else can. That when you feel alone, that no, God is still with you, still inviting you. And so those situations of suffering can be moments of conversion or of reversion, returning to the Lord. Or they can be temptations to despair. But yet we still have people that are like Job, that they're innocent. Their conscience does not accuse them of anything that they have allowed to stand in the way of their relationship with God, of anything that they need to address. And what then? Jesus himself was made perfect by what he suffered. It's quite a statement that Jesus was perfect. He was God. And yet he was made perfect by what he suffered. Well, certainly we can say of Job that would he have been perfect if he had lived a comfortable life and never sinned, but had not suffered, had not been tested? The question that the book of Job leaves open, that it doesn't answer. But that for those people who suffer innocently, it is the question that Jesus ends the gospel with. Will I find faith when I return to the earth? That we are perfected through suffering. And so hopefully for most of you, everyone will have to face a Gethsemane moment, a Calvary moment, or moments during their life. Hopefully most of you are not there right now. But what of us then? Well, it is for all of us, because we know that even good men, good women, are tested and tempted to despair in their hour of suffering. So we can look to our first reading of Moses acting as the intercessor for Israel in their hour of testing, their hour of battle, that he is interceding for the people. And so we all are called to play this role of intercessor, certainly in our prayers at Mass, but perhaps especially in the Adoration Chapel, that we have so many generous parishioners who come at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., 7 o'clock on Friday or Saturday evening, because the hour of testing of Gethsemane, Calvary, does not know a 9-to-5 schedule. Just in my holy hour yesterday, there's sirens going by 3 times, I think, on Douglas. So as our first responders are always there to respond, when someone is there before the presence of Jesus at all times, then they are drawing his love into our community, receiving his love on behalf of those who are suffering. Even if you are not praying for somebody in a specific situation, you are calling down Jesus' grace and his mercy into those moments for the people that need it at that hour and that time. And so, for all of us, we bring our weaknesses, we bring our sufferings, we bring our questions to God, to his altar. But let us especially bring those things to adoration as well. If you don't have an hour, or if you do have an hour, to consider finding one if you don't. And when you have your holy hour this week, for those who do, to bring those people before the Blessed Sacrament who need Jesus the most.